before for the sake of diversity. I'm going to share with you something else, also because it's the Yotzei of Baal Tanya. So I want to share with you something from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. He's probably the most famous Chabad person around, even though this is not a Chabad idea, but coming from a Chabad person makes a Chabad. So we're going to share with you something from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson on this week's parasha. Probably a Chumash would be helpful. Chumash? Where's my Chumash? Here it is, right here. Chumash is going to be helpful. This week's parasha, this is a great idea. This is epic. You know, I in general, I try to stay faithful to Shvilei Pinchas, and he's got some great Torah in this week's parasha about Moshe and Aaron. And why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was hesitating to take the shlichus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He has beautiful thoughts on that topic, but we're not going to speak about that now. Maybe we'll speak about it. Maybe we won't a different time. What I want to speak about now is also in the same arena. What I mean by that is that Moshe Rabbeinu did, for whatever reason, the Shvilei Pinchas explains, we're not going to go into that. For whatever reason, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to accept this, the mantle of leadership. He did not want to be the savior of the Jewish people. We'll have to understand why. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did convince him. And he did, in the process, gave him three signs. Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, like, how is this going to work? It's just not going to work. So Hashem says, I'll give you three signs, and these three signs are going to help you. And what are they? Sign number one that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Anyone, help me out. Sign number one. Staff. Throws it on the ground, becomes a snake. Moshe Rabbeinu gets startled, runs away, right? Hashem says, grab it. Don't run away. Grab it by the tail. He does. It becomes a matas. Sign number two. Puts his hand in his shirt over here, in his bosom, whatever you want to say, over here. And it comes out, it becomes tzara'as, puts it back in, comes out and it becomes like alive again, like, now some people don't know this, because I guess they don't read the Chumash, because it's in the Chumash, but there's a third sign. Now the reason why they don't know it is because if you look in the Pasuk, it says, like, it's the second one is the Ois Acharon, but it's not. There's a third one that's coming afterwards. It's kind of like the third base of Mikdash, which is not here yet. What's the third sign, anyone know? Takes water out of the Nile and throws it on the floor and it becomes blood. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu need three signs? I always wondered, by the way, because I don't know what happened. Because the way it says in the Pasuk is, Hashem says, if they don't believe you on the first one, the second one, the second one, the third one. So how many did Moshe do in the end? Did he do all three of them later? Or do you only have to do one of them? I don't know. That's interesting. Interesting question. Did Klal Yisrael like need all three signs? But what is the significance of these three signs? Baruch Ata Adonai, Hinu Melech Olam, Shehato Miyeh B'Goyim. Listen to Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. It's absolutely beautiful. By the way, he's phenomenal. So if you really want to hear from him, the way that he expresses himself, so eloquent. But he says the following thing. He says, and I'm paraphrasing some of it. It's not his own, by the way, but I'm also, I'm adjusting it just a little bit. But there were really three things that were super intimidating about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. There were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps could have, three reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu could not have wanted to do this. One reason is Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, I'm not worthy. I'm not capable. It's not something that's, I'm not the man for the job. This is not for me. I'm just the wrong person. That's one thing. Second thing is, the Jewish people, are the Jewish people like going to react when I like come to them? Are they really going to buy in? Are they going to believe? Are they going to cooperate? Is it going to, I'm going to go to them and they're going to say like, what are you talking about? Like, stop with pipe dreams and things like that. The third thing is Moshe Rabbeinu, it's clear in Rashi, but the Pesukim was intimidated by the empire of Paro. Paro is an extremely powerful, influential person. So I'm going to like stand up to Paro. I mean, first of all, I'm inadequate. Second of all, but you're talking about standing in front of the most powerful man in the world. What's going to be over here? How is this going to work out? These are the three things that could possibly have caused hesitation on Moshe Rabbeinu's part. So he brings from Rabbi Yaakov Milita. Rabbi Yaakov Milita is the Nesivas HaMishpat, and he says that Nesivas HaMishpat says that perhaps these three simanim were all coming to address each one of these three issues. So listen clearly. One of them, which we've spoken about before, is the mateh. Hashem says, what do you have in your hand? He says, it's a mateh. Now, by the way, this mateh was super special. In the Eitz place, the Torah says where it came from. The mateh had the Shem Hashem written on it. The mateh, according to some, was the mateh came from Gan Eden. The mateh was in Yisro's house, according to many. And it says that no one was able to like get to the mateh. It had like a force field around it. Anyone tried reaching it was like blocked out. And Yisro said, whoever can grab the mateh gets my daughter. Who was able to do it? This is like a super special, supernatural mateh. Hashem says, take the mateh and throw it on the ground. And the mateh turns into a snake. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets scared and he runs away. And Hashem says, don't run away. Just grab onto the mateh or onto the snake. It will return to being a mateh. What is Hashem trying to say to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Jewish people, they've been thrown to the ground. They've been dirtied. They've been beaten. They're bruised. They've perhaps even like become negative. They might even become a people that are vengeful. They're spiteful. They're angry. They've been through so much. And just like a snake bites, you could see the Jewish people as being venomous. And maybe they would bite Moshe Rabbeinu, and it happened to him already. Because Moshe Rabbeinu saved a Jew's life. The next day, the Jews ran on him. Just like a snake. We know a snake is like someone that speaks Lashon Hara. So then the Jewish people, look where they're at. Look where they're holding. So I'm going to go, and the Jewish people are going to become the chosen people. They're so caked in filth. They're lying in the dirt on the floor. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to run away, just like the snake. But Hashem says, no. These are my people. They might look to you right now like they're a snake, but this was a mateh. If you grab hold of them, they will once again become a mateh. Once again, they will return to their original identity. These are great people. Maybe right now they're in a bad cycle. Maybe right now they're in a bad place. But if you get a hold of them, you can restore the glory of this amazing nation. And that's what Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. The Jews are worthy of being saved. They might look to you like a nachash, but they're a mateh Elokim. So that's his one concern. The other concern was Moshe Rabbeinu says, who am I? I'm not the man to do the job. I'm not capable. Moshe Rabbeinu was doubting his abilities. Now, my friends, when a person puts his hand inside of his shirt, your hand is what you're capable of. Your hands is what you use, right? We said Moshe Rabbeinu would put his hands up, his hands down. The hands is your might. Hashem said, put your hand inside of your jacket, inside of your bosom over here. And what you're doing is you're basically saying, I'm not doing anything. There's nothing for me to do here. Says Hashem, what happens when you put your hand inside? It turns into tzara'as. Tzara'as is dead skin. Tzara'as, mitzoyra choshev kimes. Tzara'as is what we say, what's the punishment of a mitzoyra? Mitzoyra has to go chutz l'machaneh, has to sit by himself. Moshe Rabbeinu is like, look, I can't help these people. I just can't. I'm gonna just stay here. I got nothing to do. I'm gonna just put my hands in here, and there's nothing for me to do right now. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, if you keep your hands to yourself, you don't get involved, you're like a metzora. And you're gonna go chutz l'machaneh, and you're gonna be by yourself. Because a person that's not willing to help others, he has the ability to help others. This was Moshe Rabbeinu's calling. Hashem is saying, you cannot run away from your destiny. And even though it's a daunting task, and you're saying, who am I? I can't do this. I don't feel capable. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you need to find the courage to do this. Moshe Rabbeinu, pull your hand out from inside of your jacket. The first time it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he do? Hashem said, put your hand in and then show it to me. It's saras. Then put your hand in and take it out. The first time it doesn't say take it out, just show it to me. The second time it says take it out. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, if you are willing to go out there and you're going to give it your best shot, Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll see that your hand will be alive. You'll be successful. You are the savior of the Jewish people. Realize what you're capable of and do everything you can, Moshe Rabbeinu. You will be successful. The third thing that Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid of is, okay, so I'm, you know, you're telling me I'm capable, the Jewish people want, but we're fighting such a mammoth, such a monster. We're going against the superpower, the empire of Mitzrayim. Hashem says, take some water from the Nile, spill it on the floor, and it will become blood. Now, we know that the Mitzrim worshipped the Nile. Paro himself was also an Elokah of some sort. Paro used to go to the Nile in order to go to the bathroom. Paro had, even in his dreams, Paro had this type of, there was like this some sort of infatuation with the Nile. The Nile River, by the way, says Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, is arguably the longest river in the entire world. The Nile River stretches the same distance as from Poland to the United States, from Warsaw to New York. Do you know how long that is? And that's the length of the Nile River. It's the longest river in the entire world. Debatable, either the Nile or the Amazon River. The Nile River in Egypt is in the middle of a desert. Egypt, there is no way that Egypt culture would be able to thrive if not for the Nile River. The Nile is what gave them life. It was their life force. It was everything for Egypt. The Nile River, there's a saying in Egypt, which is, you should always merit to drink waters from the Nile. The Nile is their everything. They have a two-week holiday, even to this day, which symbolizes the 2 weeks during August where the Nile River used to overflow its banks and it would bring to Egypt all of the blessing from all over, from wherever it ran down into Egypt. Everything would come. There'd be fish that would come, turtles, there'd be crocodiles in the Nile, there'd be fresh soil would come through the Nile. The Nile brought everything into Egypt. The Nile was what gave Egypt the elixir of life for them was the Nile River. In 1970, they built a dam. So now the Nile River no longer overflows, and they use that dam for electricity and other things, and now they use pipes in order to bring, you know, water to Egypt. But the Nile River is what gave them their existence. That was their backbone, was the water of the Nile. Hashem told Moshe, take some water from the Nile. It will be turned into blood. Blood does not give life to vegetation. It does not. It's not something that a person can drink. Blood is dead. Everything in the Nile is going to collapse. It's going to implode because the Nile is the strength of the Egyptians, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, "I will bring this dynasty to its knees. You have nothing to be afraid of." And these were the three things that Moshe Rabbeinu appeared to be intimidated from. One was, are the Jewish people really ready for redemption? They're not acting that way. They act like snakes. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they might be acting like snakes, but really, once you get your hands on them, they'll turn back into a mateh. The other thing is, I don't feel like I'm the right person for the job. I want to keep my hands to myself. I don't want to extend myself to other people. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if your hands stay inside of your lap, they'll be like a metzora. Take your hands out and do what you can. That will bring the salvation, bring life back to the Jewish people. And the third thing is, yeah, but what about this tremendous, tremendous enemy that I'm facing? Hashem says, I'll bring them to their knees. The Nile River will turn to blood. And perhaps this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving Moshe Rabbeinu, these signs that he should have the fortitude, he should have the courage to go up. You understand that you're dealing with the most powerful person in the entire world. Moshe Rabbeinu has to stand there in front of him with confidence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him these signs in order they should have it. This pshat is from, as I mentioned, from Rabbi Yaakov Milita, who was the Nesivas. He wrote the Sefer Nesivas HaMishpat. That's all for today.